we pan up to see Avery with a very confused expression on their face, holding up a calming hand towards Captain Aya with their weapons drawn, pointing towards Avery. The camera pans over behind Avery to show the rest of the party with very confused and scared looks on their faces, also with all their weapons drawn. We see Gemma, we see Courtney, we see Lizzie, we see Mo, and we see Captain Aya looking extra confused with a specifically weird look on their face as they see themselves across the circle. And then we fade to black, and then we see, for some reason, 3 hours earlier.
Comes up over across the screen in your audio podcast
Yep.
format. So the scrolling words, they just kind of
Three
scroll in.
hours earlier.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That's it.
Welcome back to Queering People's Saving Throws. It's the coolest D&D podcast that has KJ, Elena, August, and Sam and Noah on it. Isn't that awesome? Woo, it's crazy.
I love that that is just a factual statement that cannot be refuted.
It cannot, unless we all end up on a different D&D podcast at some point in the future, and that would be a little weird.
That would be incredible.
We're not turning down offers, though.
I would say that would be incredible, except that, like
we're Brennan Lee Mulligan, call us. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not a surprise. Like, except that we,
in 10
we're
years,
not good at saying no to projects, and we like
podcasts. So.
In 10 years, this whole little intro will be, like, put into Stitch TikToks, or whatever they call it 10 years from now.
And they'll
be like, isn't it funny?
I don't even know that that's what they call it. I think that's what they call it now.
Okay, wait, they call it Stitches whenever you, like, take the opening of somebody else's video.
They'll
put into your own video, right?
Yeah. Maybe we'll circle back around and they'll call them tweets. Who knows?
On this Facebook post, which is not the Facebook you think it is, but anyway.
It's actually a book that you open that recognizes your face. Like,
whoa.
Wow.
Okay. Weird.
Well, anyways,
we're being so.
Let's go around the circle and reintroduce ourselves, get everybody back up to speed.
Hi, I'm Sam. My pronouns are she, they, and I play the character Mo, whose pronouns are they, them. And my fun fact for Mo this week is that their favorite subject in school was science, and they were really into doing science experiments. And one time when they were in grade six, they did a science experiment that blew up all over the classroom and ruined their teacher's shirt, and they felt really bad about it for probably to this day.
To this day is wild because Mo is in their early 20s, so it's been at least
they hold on to things. Have you never held on to something that you
it was
did?
You know what? You know what? I retract my prior statement. You're right.
Hold on.
You're right.
No, well, redacted.
My name is KJ, and my pronouns are she, they, and my play Courtney, whose pronouns are she, her. And a fun fact about Courtney is that much like she lies about her favorite color, she also lies about her favorite number, and she says that it's six, but it's actually seven.
Oh. Okay, but that, to be fair, that is the best number to write.
Yeah, six and seven are also Courtney and Lizzie's birthdays. So, like, she lies and says that it's Lizzie's birthday. That's her favorite, but, like, it's actually her.
It's actually hers. Now, my follow-up question is, does everyone in her life actually know that she's lying?
The better question is, does Lizzie know?
Probably not.
Lizzie absolutely should not. I need Lizzie to not know.
Yeah, Lizzie is too oblivious.
I feel like the lie is probably for Lizzie. Like,
yes. Almost makes it sweet.
It probably started as, like, Lizzie being upset that they don't have the same birthday and Courtney being like, no, like, six is a way better number. Like, it's my favorite number. And then, like, it just kind of stuck.
Just never backtracked it.
That is really cute. And I will be mentioning at some point that Lizzie says her favorite number is seven and Courtney's is six. It'll be really good.
That's just so wholesome. I freaking love you people.
My name is August. My pronouns are they, them, and I play Avery, pronouns he, him, little southern doggy boy. My fun fact today is that Avery's favorite ice cream flavor is blueberries. And that's because most of the typical ice cream flavors, just didn't sit well. You know, he couldn't have like your chocolate ice cream.
Weird.
So blueberries where he landed, and he really, really loves it.
So relatable.
I will say Bluebell has a flavor that's Southern Blackberry Cobbler. That's like,
oh, that's right better.
That, that's right. See, that's better. Same thing.
Never mind. Ignore just what I said. It's no, that no, flavor. No, no, no.
I really thought it was Southern Blueberry Cobbler until I said it and Blackberry just came out. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. Whoops. So I shouldn't have said that. Blueberry's well, better.
That also sounds like a really good flavor of ice cream. And that it would also not upset his little puppy tummy. So
I imagine Avery having a favorite that has the word cobbler in it. Like, that just sounds right.
Yeah, he's a good Southern boy.
good Southern doggo boy.
I have so many regrets. No, actually, I don't really. But
not allowed. Not allowed.
I don't really, actually.
So I'm Elena. My pronouns are she, they, and I play Gemma, pronouns she, her. And Gemma's fun fact of the week is that when she was a very little kid, she had a pet cat named Luna.
Aww.
Luna.
Yeah. I kept waffling between the two, and I realized.
What color was the cat? Tell us about Luna.
Silver with like blue eyes.
Oh, yeah. It's just like a little cat version of Gemma. Genuinely. Yeah.
That's yes. I accept this wholesome headcanon.
That's so fucking cute.
Yeah.
I'm Noah. Pronouns he, him. I'm DM. I play everybody else. Pronouns quite varied. My fun fact this week is Lizzie's favorite candy is, I'm going to have to say, Sour Patch Kids.
That tracks.
Which is quite opposite to Courtney's peanut butter cups, but...
Yeah. Which also tracks.
I think they try to keep it under wraps.
I feel like, yeah, Courtney and Lizzie aren't out here, like, snacking all of the time. Like, it's 2003 and they're at
constantly.
They have the vibe of people who snack.
Yeah.
We just always have a snack with them.
Yeah.
Like, they were the ones that were on this hike. They're the ones that have a bunch of random...
That's true. We did.
Bars.
Yeah.
Those little Nature Valley and granola. But they're all in crumbles. They're not bars anymore. At this point, they're just crumbles.
That's
just crumbs. They're the ones where you would basically have to like open the package and then just like shake the
It slipped in your mom's purse for too long.
and your mom's like, there's no other options. Like, it's either this or you don't eat. So like,
yeah, you're waiting until you're now.
we've got granola bars at home, but
yeah.
Well, now that you've met everybody, it's time to get you caught up. If you missed last episode, here's what you've missed on the road so far.
Really,
I'm just gonna start dragging that over.
Really,
it's okay.
Yeah, you should.
There's no reason.
It flows really well.
Yeah, it works good for cross promotion type stuff, and
we are the same show after all.
We are the same show, 90% of the
show. I'm here. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
I feel awkward.
Yeah. Also, if you can't,
I'm in the room with you, not.
If you can't tell already, August and Sam are in the exact same room for the first time since we started recording. So if the vibes are a little bit extra hyper or anxious, that's why. Just so
I'm also on spring break while we're recording this. So I'm like off work and relaxed. And that's also helping.
And Sam is hosting, so the opposite of relaxed.
I'm a very relaxing person to have visit. Yeah, we had a great day.
I'll leave the hesitation in there. The hesitation before that.
I didn't hesitate. All right. Okay, we're going to shut up.
I'm sorry.
So we're in Avery's dream, and we see his dad's talking about him, and it's kind of hard to hear, I think, especially for Avery. They're talking about how he's, you know, not normal, and they're worried about him, and... Yeah, maybe not a conversation we should have been there to hear.
Oh my God. So then we're in this memory where like Avery was like a little kid and like totally like wandered off. And like now I'm kind of wondering if like maybe this is something that Avery does all of the time, because like this is now two school trips that we've gotten like totally lost in the woods on.
Fantastic addition.
Full transition to. Alert, there's going to be a bit of a tonal shift in this recap right now.
That's all right. That's all right. It's my fault.
Well, after we did that walkthrough of pretty much all my worst possible memories, the I guess they're my friends now, really. Can't really just say classmates anymore. But came around and, you know, came into the memory. Don't know how that worked and not really worried about all the details of it. But I felt like I wasn't alone and it's something.
So once we all entered that memory, we finally were able to go back to what Avery feels was his darkest moment. And it was the day that he lost his dog and then woke up in the hospital and didn't know how to face it.
And just like that, we're right back into the scene. The whole group had just held hands together and helped Avery focus on digging into the werewolf genetic memory strands that they had. And we had just started flying through the forest. So the entire party stops right in the middle of the same village that you saw when we were outside. It's the same village, but it's perfect. It's pristine. Everything is put together and healthy. And you're right in the middle of the town square. And there are people walking around. As they start walking towards you, they start seem to pass through you like you aren't actually physically there. Somewhat different from the forest scene that we did last episode. They seem to pass through you, not notice you, all of the above. And if you would like to roll a perception check on the village as it is.
Yes.
Is that an everybody?
Yes. Whoever wants to.
Heck yeah.
Why would you not want
to? Yeah, I was going to say, you should know by now. No, if there's an option to roll, I'm rolling.
And Lizzie's not going to roll because they're checking in on Avery, making sure that Avery's okay after that last episode.
Avery rolled a zero. Avery's not able to perceive anything right now, which seems actually pretty on brand.
Actually, we're temporarily blind.
He's trying really hard to distract himself by looking around.
It's Avery does get advantage for vision-based because of werewolf eyes. So zero on the first roll.
Let's find out if we... No, negative one.
Zero is the best roll.
Zero is me rolling a two.
Oh, fuck.
So they're just really...
Opposite.
And I rolled a 25.
Gemma rolled a natural 20.
Gemma's unbothered.
That 20 with the 5 perception bonus.
Yeah. I rolled a 14. Or I guess I should say Courtney rolled a 14.
See sounds of this place.
Okay, so Gemma notices that the town is bustling and is alive and vibrant. Courtney notices this as well. They notice that everything is alive and everybody is in harmony. There are people who are werewolves. There are people who are changelings. There are whole different types of quote-unquote monsters that are living in harmony amongst these humans, these elves, these orcs. Everybody's here living all together, and there's no aggression. There's no negative energy anywhere in the group. Yes, Sam.
I rolled an 8.
Okay, so you don't notice that bit, but you notice more than Avery does.
Avery actually actively unnotices anything that he would have noticed just by not noticing.
Avery's still hung up on the hospital scene, and that's valid, and we get that. And Lizzie is there to comfort you. So they're trying to help you get past that into this present moment. But Gemma, you specifically notice, you see in the middle of the town square, there's a three-sided obelisk that rises up into the sky. And you see the side that you're facing has the exact writing that you recognize as Gemma here and now as the prophecy that the witches have, that they shared with you a few episodes ago, mentioning the arbitrary outcast and ensure the paragon, all that. You see that on this side of the three-sided obelisk.
Does anyone else see it?
No, Gemma sees that alone.
So guys, over there in the town square, it's like there's an obelisk with writing and it looks exactly like the writing that they had back in the town.
And once Gemma points it out, everybody can see it.
Is Van still here?
Yes, Captain Aya, not Van, Mick. Captain Aya gestures over to it and like kind of cocks her head in a weird way, like, huh, it was all together at some point. It was fascinating. Let's take a closer look at that, and starts to move towards it. Lizzie stays with Avery and is kind of holding their hand still after everybody let go. whenever they made it to the town square, Lizzie didn't let go.
Aw. Mo is very curious, so Mo is going to follow Captain Aya.
Jem is going to follow as well.
I think Courtney is going to follow as well, but she is looking back over her shoulder several times to, like, keep Lizzie in her line of sight.
Fair.
Yeah. Avery will only follow if Lizzie is seeming to make a move to move. Otherwise, is sort of like just a little bit still trying to steady himself.
Okay, Lizzie looks at the rest of the group going and kind of glances at Avery and sees their hesitation and starts taking a step forward, but isn't taking more than two steps without Avery following behind, and so kind of guides them.
Avery will follow. Like, he's going to follow. If she starts moving, he'll kind of go like, okay, and he'll start kind of moving.
Still holding hands the whole time because Lizzie's there for Avery at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not letting go of her hand.
Aya makes it to the base of the pedestal, the obelisk, and starts to feel it. I was going to say feel it up, but starts to press the...
Feeling up that phallic object, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, you're just walking yourself right into that one.
Yeah, that was my bad. Starts to press their hand against it and runs their finger over the in the grooves.
Somehow worse.
How's that worse? Running,
nothing. It's not worse. It's just not better. Not
rubbing. I'm sorry. Running.
Anything at this point is now going to be bad.
Okay, so yeah. They just look at it. Yeah. And they're impressed because it's so tall.
Oh, no, Noah.
And so hard. Oh my god. I'm sorry.
We're all 12.
Oh my god, my face is the same color as my fucking blanket. Holy shit.
They look at the side that they're facing and they recognize everything that they've seen in their section of the city before, and they are like, this is the prophecy that's, and they gesture towards Avery, who's a little farther behind, but still coming towards them. This is the prophecy that references you, Avery. This is, oh, wow. And they sort of glance around the city, trying to see if they recognize anybody, but they don't seem to.
Avery's going to perk up when he hears his name and, like, hears that. Can I look at it and see if there's anything that I can figure out?
Yes. Do you look at it from the same perspective that everybody else is?
I think he'll probably, like, do, like, walk around it to kind of try and...
Beautiful. Roll me a perception check with advantage.
Hope that my rolls get better. That was not great. Okay, that's a 9. It's still not great.
Okay, you notice on the other sides of it, there are different writings.
Oh.
And that's all I can tell you about it.
There's something different on this side. I don't know what it means, but it looks different on the other side. Because he's directing this at Aya.
Okay, she takes a lap around it as well, and I'm going to have her roll.
Let's give someone who's got...
She rolled a 6.
Mo is going to follow very closely behind.
Okay, you can give a roll with advantage because Avery has pointed out what you're supposed to be looking at.
Okay.
Can you have a roll on this one as well?
Yes, as well.
I got 16.
Oh, 22. I will take that one.
Okay, thank goodness. Both Mo and Gemma see the full prophecy, because the way that the prophecy is written around this three-sided obelisk penis, it's the first line is the highest on one side, and then the next side it goes slightly down, and then it goes slightly down on the next one, and then so it all works out, but it's written around it in a circle. And so I've sent it to you over Discord, but I'll read it out for the audience. The full prophecy says, uncontrolled desire seeks to abuse the arts, inexorable heartbreak, apathy in the house of death, fate's perfect sword split in twain, arbitrary outcast restored to the rout, healed recall results in agony resurgent, fissures sunder that once regarded unwavering, blunders draw hope nearer to the galactic vividity, death's instrument unleashed into mortality, untampered unity through faded futile hardships, ensure the paragon holds true across art eternal. So previously, you only had about 3.5 of those lines when you spoke with the witches.
Yeah.
And so now you have the entire bit.
Okay. Is everyone is seeing this?
Everyone's seeing this. Now that more than one person has rolled a good perception check, I'm going to say that AS sees it as well. Lizzie is walking closely behind Avery as they are walking around it.
Like if someone, I feel like at this point, someone's going to read it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
I'm going to just explain it.
Yeah.
So we'll say that AS read it out because I did.
Morty wasn't paying attention until somebody started reading.
There's more.
Aya looks shocked to their core. They are blown away that there's more to the prophecy than what they've known since they were born. And they are reading the other two sides over and over again, trying to figure out what that could mean.
There's a lot more here than we had before.
There's so much more. There's two complete other sides. I can't even... untempered unity through futile. Okay. Others, I don't know what this all means. Inexorable heartbreak. A healed recall results in agony. Do any of y'all, and she glances to the rest of the group, almost frantic in their expression. Do any of y'all know what this could possibly mean?
Literally no. How are we supposed to know that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really great with like words and stuff. I feel like maybe Gemma might have some insight.
I feel like Gemma is shifting uncomfortably and like is whichever side the phrase healed recall results in agony resurgent, Gemma is just stuck on.
So you're standing on that specific side of
that the specific obelisk? Side, staring at it like it just subtweeted my entire soul.
I'm going to have Aya roll perception on that to see if she notices. She actually doesn't. She rolled real low. Okay. So they're kind of just glancing at the group back and forth. Any of it? I understand that arbitrary outcast refers to Avery, but these other lines, inexorable heartbreak, fissures sunder, who is,
wait,
what is faith,
wait,
perfect soul?
Recall. Don't let me in like memories and recalling shit.
Yes, that would perfectly.
Is that about what? I mean, we did a whole lot of remembering just now.
That is true. We've gone through your entire. But did you forget any of this before? Was this a healed recall, or was this recall that you didn't want to show the rest of us?
Ah, that's right.
It should be noted that Gemma is now tearing up.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Doesn't seem able to talk.
Okay. I want Mo to notice that.
Okay.
Do I have to roll for that?
I think since you've known that you went through the whole situation at the laboratory, you wouldn't necessarily have to roll for that. You would just know that Gemma did go through this memory being restored to her and would be aware of that.
Okay.
So I would say you can notice.
Okay, cool. Mo's going to walk over to Gemma and just, like, put their hand on her shoulder and be like, you all right?
At least part of it's got to be about me.
Yeah.
I don't understand what it all means.
Aya rolled an 18 on their second perception check, and they noticed which side you're standing on and what line you're staring at, and they healed recall. Does that one feel like it applies to you? Agony resurgent? Did you remember anything new that hurt you a lot?
Gemma nods. And it's still like it's clear that like she wants to say something, but just her brain is not cooperating with her body right now.
Aya takes a moment to sort of nod back at you solemnly and then slowly turns their head to Courtney and Lizzie. And sort of thinks about them for a second and says, fate's perfect sword split in twain. You wouldn't happen to be twins, would you?
We are literally like almost the same person. Of course we're twins.
I mean, like, how do you not say that shit? Oh my God. Like, obviously we're twins.
Avery's gonna pipe up. I don't know. You seem pretty different to me.
Oh my God. How could you even say that?
And she, I don't mean it in a bad way.
Okay.
I mean, it is kind of like, nice that, like, somebody knows the difference between us. I mean,
yeah, that is fair. Ever since that one time that Jordan called us the opposite names, I'm totally fine with people that get that we're different people. But, like, we are obviously twins. Can't you hear it in our voices?
Everyone can hear it. Phenomenal. I'm going to tell you this, but we are, like, not part of a prophecy because, like, nobody consulted us about that.
Nobody even tried to ask if we were okay with that. Like, where's your prophecy manager?
I can't know.
I'm sorry. Once I added the snaps tonight. In there.
Wait, does this mean that the lines are about us?
Aya glances at you and says, it would appear that would be the case. I thought it just occurred to... just applied to Avery because I only had a section of it, a third of it. But now that I'm seeing the entire thing in purpose, and she's kind of walking around it a few times to make sure that she's got it memorized, she points to Fate's perfect sword split in twain and gestures to Courtney and Lizzie. You guys are involved, clearly. The next line, arbitrary outcast, return to the route, gestures to Avery. Healed recall results in agony resurgent, gestures to Gemma.
At this point, Gemma like looks over to Captain Aya and just goes, so which part is Mo?
And they sort of walk around a few times more, kind of checking it out, and says, I'm not quite sure. Mo, has there been anything strange that has happened to you since you joined this group and this adventure and this realm?
Like leveling up several times.
What? I mean, everything has been strange. I don't.
Bear, does anything that seems to apply to these lines of prophecy written? And may I just say, these lines were written 300 years ago at this point. So it is baffling that any of it would apply to this moment here and now. Blows my mind. But anyway, so do any of these seem to apply to you personally?
Mo is, like, panicking.
Mo, will you roll perception with advantage?
First one was a 4.
Ooh, that's going to be a good roll.
Okay, I got 18.
Okay. Mo notices, without anybody else seeing, as they're walking around it a few times, at the very bottom of the prophecy is a symbol that looks to any passerby just like an accidental mark upon the stone when they were carving it, just some sort of maybe blemish that was there before, something that they just didn't polish off whenever they were creating the obelisk. There's a symbol that to Mo, they recognize as their initials.
Ooh. Okay. Mo notices this, doesn't want to share it with the group, but is not being subtle in looking at it.
Okay. So if everyone, what's everyone else's passive perception?
They're just standing
perception?
Frozen looking at that one spot.
I mean, okay. Avery is staring at Mo, has been watching Mo since the whole, Mo, which part of this is about you?
Okay. Then roll perception, I'd say with advantage, since you were looking at them.
Yeah, I roll perception as well.
Of course.
14.
I'm perceiving so much this episode.
I'm going to say it's about over 15. I rolled a nat 20.
Nice. So, I rolled a 20. But
Courtney
not
and Gemma both notice. Courtney, with zero hesitation, knows as soon as Mo knows what they're looking
at. Oh my god, you're being like so sus. What is up?
And Avery, as soon as somebody says it, you notice where they're looking at as well.
Mo is having an internal panic attack.
Aya steps forward and sort of rests their arm on your shoulder and sees the section of the prophecy that says untampered unity through faded futile hardships is somewhat close to where you're looking, doesn't seem to notice the blemish on the rock, and says, are you hoping that you'll be the one to unify us all? Is that, I believe you could. You seem to be a pretty solid leader, gesturing at the rest of the group, being like, you seem to have grown everyone together a little bit. You and Avery over here, but Avery's got their anger issues and whatnot. But and Lizzie says, oh my god, don't just call him out like that. What the fuck? Who do you think you are?
Oh my god, shoes. I can't resist.
I mean, I guess I'm kind of the only one who wasn't a part of the original group. You know, they're all classmates and I'm not. And then Mo just kind of like drifts off and is awkwardly fiddling with their hands.
Mm. I mean, you're not, might not have started with us, but wouldn't have made it this far without you.
Lizzie puts their arm on your shoulder as well and says, I'm sorry that you don't feel like we care about you, but Avery's right. We wouldn't have met it this far without you. You're kind of almost, you're like co-leaders. I would say co-leader, you and Avery.
I mean, I'm not asking to be anybody's leader.
And that's the thing. Leaders don't ask to be leaders. They just end up there.
This ain't about me right now.
You're right. We're not like inside your mind or anything, but like, come on.
Mo, you've been a hell of a guide. I don't know. It might not count for everything, but it's got to count for something. What's got y'all riled?
Yeah, Mo is going to kind of like break away from everyone's like hands on them. He's going to be like, I need a minute, and then like walk a few steps away.
Okay. You step into the middle of the bustling crowd that's moving around the town square, and you sort of have a moment to yourself. And Captain Aya glances around at everyone else and is like, is that true? Does Mo sort of feel like they're on the outside of everyone else? Are they not quite as included as everyone else?
I don't know. It's possible, but I don't think there's any reason for it.
There was one time that like Mo did kind of like leave us in the woods, like passed out.
Aya hesitates at that. Like, I'm sorry. They did what?
Well, we were separated for a bit. They haven't been too chatty about it, to be perfectly honest.
Fascinating. All right.
Above the table. I forget. How much do we know about what happened to Mo? Do we actually know what? About the Kelly stuff or no?
Not a lot. You know about the meltdown that Kelly had at the end, but You don't know about the training and the levels up.
So we don't know about the powers and stuff?
Not necessarily. I don't think Mo's used a lot of them since then.
No.
And
Sam has forgotten.
Not anything anti-Sam. It's fine. It's hard to keep track of. But you don't know about how much power that Kelly gave to Mo.
Okay.
You just know about Kelly trying to use Mo to further some ends. And then you guys came in at the perfect time to stop that.
Okay.
Right as Mo was starting to fight back.
Gotcha.
Mo, as you're having this moment to yourself, you notice something that the others don't quite notice because they are talking to themselves and walking around the obelisk trying to make sure they get the entire prophecy. You are looking kind of up to the sky because the rest of the people around you are distracting you and sort of drawing your attention away. And so you look up and you see what looks like a shooting star or a meteorite come all the way down and crash not far away from the village, but it just hits down. And there's no explosion, there's no weird reverberation or anything. And you're sort of confused for a second. And then the sky changes colors everywhere around you. And everybody notices this bit, obviously. The sky goes bright purple, and then it goes bright black, bright red, green, white, gold, and then settles into a dusty color everywhere around.
Oh.
And the party would realize that this is the moment that the Paragon went wrong.
Oh my god.
The entire village seems to panic for a moment as everything is going haywire. Everything's going crazy. Like, this is not normal. In the center of the village, there's not that many quote-unquote monsters that change perception. Not as many as we saw when we were out in the village, out in the fields. But there are a few werewolves that sort of clutch their chests and double over and start to limp towards the outskirts of the village because they feel like they can't be here anymore. Aya is looking around and trying to recognize what's happening. And for a moment, Gemma and Aya see a face that is blatantly familiar to them as Van Aya runs past the both of them to their house on the southern outskirts of town. And
oh my God.
Captain McAya reaches out towards them for a second, "Grandfather," and their hand passes right through. And then they run past Gemma. And what does Gemma feel in that moment?
For like just a split second, like Gemma smiles, but then like realizes what like the implications of seeing them there. And then immediately looks panicked.
And then Van runs out of sight, out of mind, and it is too far away from whoever this memory is focusing on, because the memory sort of moves around a central point that is clearly moving away from the central town square. And the rest of the group doesn't move in physicality. They don't walk anywhere, but they are gliding through, following this central figure, following their memory strand. And as the group is being pulled somewhere, Mo regains the rest of the party and is sort of standing around everybody again, is not quite as far away. It's sort of like it catches you in the outskirts. And I feel like instinctually, Lizzie, who has not dropped Avery's hand this whole time, starts walking towards wherever the center is and gestures at Courtney to follow them. And Aya sort of instinctually is trying to figure out who they're following, because clearly it's a werewolf memory strand, right? So they're following some werewolf that they haven't noticed yet. And so she is trying to figure out who they're talking to right now. So at this moment, Mo and Gemma are sort of at the back of the pack.
Mo is gonna like put a hand on Gemma's arm and kind of like pull her back towards them. Can I talk to you?
Of course, yeah.
Mo is like really nervous. I think I might know why I'm not in the prophecy.
Why do you think?
I think I might have written it.
What do you mean?
At the bottom, it looks like a little, oh God, looks like a little mark, but it's my signature. And I don't know how it got there.
Possibly have written it.
I don't know, but I know my signature. Mo is like now breathing heavily and is like very upset.
Gemma's just gonna hug them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And kind of just, we're gonna figure this out. One way or another, we're gonna figure it out.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we have to tell Aya.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust. I mean, what happened with you where you didn't even know that you did shit back then? Like, I don't want to have done something bad that I didn't know about.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But we're all we've got right now. We don't know what we're doing. We're in somebody's mind, for God's sakes, right now.
Oh my God. We can't just like put their head in their hands.
When you forget you're in someone, you're actually in someone's mind.
I forgot that. Me, Sam, forgot that.
I think when we come out, we'll have Avery roll to see if they remember everything that happened around them when they were in their mind.
But can Avery just pick up all of those memories of conversations that he wasn't a part of?
But at this moment, I would wonder he doesn't.
A second ago.
Ooh, yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Because it technically happened in Avery's memories.
Right. It all should be in his memories, in his mind. It's just a matter of, like, does he have access to that?
Yeah. Yeah. But right here, right now, he doesn't.
I know you're scared, but I think we just have to tell him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Gemma kind of does the like hand on the back reassurance.
Yeah.
And sort of starts to kind of like usher Mo back towards everyone else.
Okay. Mo is going to just reluctantly come with like their head just like hanging down.
As you start to rejoin the rest of the group, you start to notice the one person that this memory seems to be centered on. And it's a average build, pretty bulky humanoid-esque, who is, they have been running through the center of the town towards the outskirts because their instincts force them to. They have become more and more hairy, more and more bestial in form, and they have become werewolf in nature as they reach the outskirts. And they are very clearly running towards someone with a purpose in mind. Their eyes, still white, have not turned red yet. They are running to a lean-to on the edge of town that you, as a group, recognize from the last time you walked into town, because you came in from the southern outskirts and you passed by this and it was really run down and broken. And this person runs inside and they grab their partner, who is not screaming, but they are distraught and they are, what is happening? Oh my God. What is happening out here? Everyone I know is gone, losing their mind. And the partner is grabbing them and saying, it's okay. It's all right. We'll get through this. We just have to get our kid to safety. We you know the place, right? We've planned this. It's fine. We've got this. And they grab their child from their bassinet, their crib that they have, and they run south and they run towards the giant pit that everybody knows, right? And they are making it there as the scene that we have seen as viewers, where there's people and farmers in the field that are losing their minds after the colors in the sky change and people start turning into monsters and attacking other people with red eyes. They are running past all of that as their eyes are almost flickering from white to red to white to red to back and forth. And they are trying to fight their inner nature as they make it there. There's a few times that one partner has to fight somebody off of the other and fight somebody off of the other and pass the kid back and forth as they make it there. But they make it to the pit and they drop a rope with an anchor that they have obviously planned for in case they need it. And they drop down one by one into the bottom of this pit. And they stand together in front of this fluctuating color vortex that is standing in front of them, that is constantly changing shape, constantly changing color. It is brutal and wild and beautiful all at the same time. And they look at each other once more. And the whole time, the whole party has been almost dragged behind them, but kept at the same pace that they have instructed to. Does anyone feel a certain type of way about that journey? Aya is looking on with bleak curiosity, trying to figure out what happened here.
I'm guessing Avery's feeling very emotionally fraught about this scene for reasons he's not entirely sure why. Mo is just distracted with their own stuff.
Fair.
They're not really paying attention.
I feel like Gemma is looking between the two of them and being like, whose emotional trauma do I help first?
I feel like Courtney's very interested, but she's not like emotionally upset in any way or like...
Fair. Lizzie is only watching Avery through this entire scene, is glancing back at the scene that they're seeing unfold in front of them, but is mostly watching Avery. And then we see the two werewolf partners hold their child for one last time, give them a little kiss on the forehead. And if anybody wants to roll perception real quick.
I don't think that Mo would.
No, no perception. Zero to perception.
Avery. Do I still roll with advantage?
Yeah. Perception is always with advantage.
Okay, 12. There we go, 12.
Avery recognizes the exact color pattern that they saw on themselves when they went werewolf for the first time.
Oh my God.
This little pup that the two parents are holding.
No.
And these two parents glance lovingly at their child and toss them into the portal.
Avery, I think, instinctively goes to lunge forward right when they toss the child.
Roll dexterity.
You can't catch it.
There's not really a plan. That would be crazy. There's not really a plan. But there's just sort of a visceral
reaction. Yes, absolutely.
No, what was I rolling perception?
Okay, that was wrong. That was I rolled a saving throw. That was incorrect.
Yes. Perception. Yes. Dexterity. Yes.
There we go.
15 perception.
Gemma also noticed the color pattern.
8 dexterity.
With an 8, you jump forward and you are a second and a half too slow. And it passes through the portal as your hand passes through the spot where the baby went.
Just sort of stands there, like looking super dejected.
And Lizzie, when you look back to the rest of the group, dejected as all get out, Lizzie has got tears running down her face and has put it together. She rolled pretty high on her perception and understands what happened here. And the two parents that we see, they embrace each other and are both sobbing as well. And they turn back to the rope and they climb back up. The rest of the party follows. And then we see one of the parents really buckle down, sort of try to fight their inner instincts, and is holding their head, clutching it, as the red takes over their eyes, opposed to the partner's white eyes. And they both look at each other like a predator looking at prey, both of them. And they can't bring each other to make a move towards the other. And so they split ways. And the one with the wide eyes returns to the village and tries to find a place where they can resume their current life and not feel whatever mental pressure they are feeling out here in the fields. The one with the red eyes bounds off into the distance and we do not see them again.
I know that Mo is still dealing with their own stuff and probably is not paying attention or having a reaction to this, but Sam is having a big reaction. I would like to find it now.
Let the record show.
Absolutely fair.
No,
that's it.
Fine.
And I feel like I need to stand up or something.
I believe the parent with white eyes makes it to a home on the northwest side of the town, and they bunker down there, and they put their hands to their head like the pressure has receded, and they are like starting to relax for the first time, and they take deep breaths, and then the memory fades. And we are back in the forest, but the forest is flickering in a weird way.
Oh, no.
Like fading in and out. Like, and Aya looks around at everybody and says, "All right, all right. Does everyone feel like they've got what they needed? Because I feel like this is a sign that we need to get out."
Yeah, no argument for me. I'm ready to leave.
All right, Avery, kick us out.
Does Avery know how to do that?
I don't think they know what to do in that instance, but I feel like if anyone was sitting there knowing that they had people in their mind and they said, "Kick us out," you'd have no problem doing so.
Okay.
I feel like if Avery focuses and says, "Get the fuck out of my mind."
Avery closes his eyes and like takes a couple really, really deep breaths and actually just tries to like wolf out. That's actually what the method that he's going to go with. He's actually just going to try and like,
okay,
just frighten, like just going to, for some reason, that's right. But that's the some reason he thinks that that'll be the thing that'll actually trigger kicking them out.
Roll constitution then.
My God, if that works.
I like it.
Why is it such bad constitution? 9.
But you know what? A 9 will do the exact thing. Because if you got over a 10, I was going to say you went into wolf mode, still inside your mind. But since you got under a 10 with a 9, you kick everybody out. And that's
cool.
Perfect. And it works. And everybody wakes up almost in the reverse order of the way that they went in. So Lizzie wakes up last and makes eye contact with Avery. And it's like, "Oh my God, are you okay?"
We're out.
We made it.
Avery is going to just sort of like collapse in a little heap. Didn't quite realize how exhausted this whole experience has made him.
Lizzie sort of holds Avery as he collapses into that heap, just sort of patting him on the shoulder and just comforting him, saying sweet little things like, "It's okay. You made it through. We got this." Aya sort of brings herself back to reality, cracks her neck a few times, and is like, "All right, so I think it's massively important that I share with my group the entirety of the prophecy that we've discovered from the past, because This contains so much more information than we were aware of. It references three, maybe four of you, with Courtney and Lizzie being the sword split in twain. I'm sorry, Mo. I don't mean to exclude you from this, but...
And at this point, Gemma's going to look at Mo with this, like, or never.
Mo is going to, like, shake their head.
Oh, I had Captain A roll perception, but they rolled a two, so they don't notice that happen. And so they said, I'm sorry, Mo. I don't mean to exclude you from this, but it's these four might be the perfect team to make the Paragon hold true across art eternal, which I didn't even know that last line was meant to be there in the first place. There's so much different that I need to inform my people about. So you guys take your time to recover, and I will be back.
Before Aya leaves,
yes,
Gemma kind of like gestures. If the portal works traveling through a different space, does it also travel through time?
Well, it's hard to explain because the astral plane contains the multitude of time and the multitude of space. So it really depends on when we focus on getting there and when we land ourselves in the astral plane. And once we're there, we can slide across depending on the target and what they focus on, you know? So I do think that moment in Avery's past where we all interacted, I believe that was both us now and us then. Does that make sense?
As much as any of all this does.
I understand. And that's totally fair. But I believe that when it really counted, we were there for Avery when it counted most. And they sort of glance at Avery at that point and sort of do a slight nod. Like, glad I could be there for you. I don't really know you, but I'm glad I helped.
Yeah.
And then Aya rushes up the stairs to meet with the rest of their witch crew.
Oh, you have to tell them.
Have to tell us what? Wait. I'm over here trying to make sure that Avery is okay because we were just in their mind. And like, holy shit, we saw so many things. First of all, I saw them first kiss, and that was really fucking cute. Avery, we should talk about... Okay, this isn't the time. I'm sorry?
And Gemma's just giving this hard stare to Mo. It's like, it's total mom glare. Like,
yeah.
Of you know what you gotta do.
Lizzie is rubbing Avery's back this whole time.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know if I was able to trust Captain Aya. And I told Gemma back when we were in the dream, but I...
Sorry, time out. Avery, will you roll history with advantage?
Yes.
To make sure to see if you recognize the memories that happened inside of your head.
13.
Okay, you remember that Gemma and Mo had a moment off by themselves, but you don't quite know what happened in it. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Mo, back into your moment.
Mo is having a really hard time getting words out. I don't know. I think I know why I'm not in the prophecy.
Oh my god, wait. You, but why?
I saw my signature at the bottom.
At the bottom of what? At the obelisk?
Yeah.
You saying you wrote the prophecy?
Mo wrote the prophecy?
Mo is like on the verge of tears now. I don't know. I mean, I don't remember writing it, but it has my signature on it.
That was like 300 years ago. How could you? Are you? Wait, okay. Do we have two people in this group that are like way old?
Wouldn't be the strangest thing.
I guess not.
Who even like told you that you could like write about us? Because like we did not sign for consent.
Did we sign off on this? Are you making profit off of this? Because I feel like we should get a pace for over 300 euros.
Okay, now Mo is like starting to cry.
At that, Lizzie sort of softens up and is, oh my god, Mo, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we like didn't want you to like cry about this. We were just like concerned, you know?
We all are.
And moves closer, leaning to hug, but like just really slow about it. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not meaning to do anything. I don't know why my signature's on it. It just is.
So at this point, Gemma's going to look at Mo and say, do you think it has anything to do with Kelly?
I mean, I don't think so. He mentioned the prophecy, but it just, you know, in passing, not in me having written it.
Maybe he didn't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, we didn't know until you just found out, until you told us, oh my god, a second ago. So, like, what if she glances at Courtney and is like, oh, what if it's, like, a crazy time travel story where Mo writes that in the future?
You saying we got some freaky Back to the Future situation going on here?
Remember we do. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh, that'd be crazy. Nobody fucked our moms.
Oh my god. Okay. Really need to wrap this up.
Ooh-wee. Well, that's another episode of Queering People's Saving Throws. Make sure to tune back in next week to see where the party takes us next. We are August as Avery, KJ of Supernatural Opinions as Courtney, Elena as Gemma, Sam as Mo, and Noah, oh shit, that's me, as the DM. You've got to know how it goes at this point. Socials are in the episode description. Although, if I'm judging off of that, not too many of y'all know how it goes because I haven't gained that many followers so far. So, either way, please share the show with your friends, and you know, we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again. But also, sorry. Before we get to that point, August and KJ have started a hockey playoff podcast on their own, separate away from this situation, and it's great and fantastic and an absolute blast to listen to. So please go check that out. It's called Chirping Coast to Coast. Great time. You won't miss out at all. So once you do that, you follow them and then come back, then please know that we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again. What if it's like Looper, where like, sorry.
I don't think that movie
exists. I don't think Looper came out that early.